Praise God. There you go. Praise God. There you go. Gotta press them twice. Okay, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Hallelujah. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, as you receive him, by faith, amen, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Father, we thank you that as it feeds us, Father God, we can feed the world, Lord. Hallelujah. As you give us the fishes and loaves of your word, Lord, we can put them out and they can expand and multiply and touch lives in so many different ways as we are willing and able and bold to share that word with others. Father, we thank you and praise you. Father, we want to be in the Spirit. We want to be kept in the Spirit. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to live by the Spirit. We want to think by the Spirit.
Yes.
Father, we want everything to be by your Spirit, Father. And with your grace, we can do that. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, praise God, verse 23, familiar scripture, I stand on this one very much of the time. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You would think that's a contradiction. Let us hold fast, for he is faithful. Praise be to God. But that's what it amounts to, isn't it? How can we possibly hold fast our profession of faith without wavering unless he is faithful to hold us fast? Praise be to God. And finally, James. Praise be to God. James chapter 1. James keeps me on my toes. I don't know about you. James chapter 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to, you know, condemn us for asking. For asking for anything that we think we need, or praise be to God, we may be lacking in, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. There's that wavering word again. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We have to ask without wavering. Amen. We have to ask in faith. We have to hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. Wavering is a you know. We don't do that. We hold fast and steady. That's what God tells us. You know, martial arts instructors teach students to make the same moves over and over until they come automatically, you know, so that you automatically block that, so that whatever anybody brings against you, you already have the defense, and you have practiced in it, and you have been instructed in it. And the word that came to me for this message is consistency. We as Christians need to be consistent, don't we?
Amen.
Because lack of consistency leads to lackness, and leads to the enemy getting a place in our lives, and leads to our becoming complacent, and therefore not immediately ready to put up a defense against anything that the enemy or the world might bring against us. Praise be to God. Paul encourages the the Colossians to continue in the same fashion as when they were saved, to walk in faith. You know, I remember when I got saved. I mean, the Lord was just all over the place, you know. My truck wouldn't start. I put my hands on the hood and prayed. Boom, it starts right up, you know. God just performed miracle after miracle. And I'm walking in faith, and then boom, the enemy comes and dumps the boom on me, you know. And there I am, cowering in the corner. What happened, you know? God says, I'm going to build you up into that place of consistency where that won't happen anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if we allow Him to do that, and if we will walk in the way that He guides us, that won't happen. Praise be to God. The way we were saved was in the sense of looking to Jesus for all our sufficiency, all of our needs. Have we departed from that in any fashion, to any degree, where we're not looking to Jesus for all our needs? You know, I turned 62 and a couple of my pensions kicked in, you know, so that I have more money coming in now than I did before. Whereas before, when this was a Christian bookstore, and I was out driving a bus and studying for the ministry and doing all this stuff, we were just barely making ends meet. Now I have a little more. I have some breathing room, you know? And you tend to get a little lax when that happens. Oh, wow. I got money in my checkbook like I didn't have before, you know? And you can get lax and complacent. And Jesus is saying, you know, I could rip that out in no time. I could destroy the company, which is Morgan Stanley, which supplies your pension like that. And then what are you going to do? Who are you going to turn to?
That's right.
You better be me. Yes. You better have learned to turn to me in a heartbeat. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
But that word walking has the sense of action. First of all, when you walk, you're acting. And second of all, progress. You know, if I'm walking, I'm not standing still. I'm progressing. I'm moving forward. You know, the Christian walk is not a treadmill. It's advancing and it's moving forward. Or at least it's supposed to be. Because if I'm not moving, I'm either standing still. If I'm not going forward, where am I going? Backwards? I got to keep moving forward. That's what he's saying here. You can't stay in the same place. And he urges them to be rooted in Christ. That's what we're to be. Amen? So that we're drawing our nourishment, our spiritual nourishment from Jesus Christ, our Savior, rooted and grounded in Him. Just like a plant draws its nourishment from the roots. And it grows and it flourishes and it bears fruit. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen? And He tells them that they are to be built up in Him. In who? The rock. The chief cornerstone. The rock of all ages. Praise be to God. And we build on that, the solid rock. And he tells them further that it should be with thanksgiving. It should be with joy. We shouldn't have this doctrinal, you know, dry doctrinal walk where, well, this is the truth and that's not the truth. And yet that's what I tried to express when I was going back and forth with emails with the guy. I told him I've been a Christian for 30 years. I've preached for 20. You know, the faith once delivered to the saints. And I'm not doing this to be, you know, a doctrinaire. I'm telling you this because I believe that this guy is a phony. And you shouldn't be tolerating his stuff. He should not be a contributor to your website. But I tried to do it in love and in the joy of the Lord, you know. Praise be to God. he told me, well, I hope you'll change your mind, you know. I won't. I can't. Because I know in my heart that this person is not, I don't even want to get into it. But the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That should be our walk, amen? Grace and truth. Truth brings what? Liberty. The truth will make you free. And I love the King James because it doesn't say set you free all at once and you're going to be free forever. No, it's make. It's a process. It's a process. It will make you free as you continue in the Word. It will make you free. And grace brings what? Joy. It has to. It has to. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And all this calls for consistency. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Grace and truth. Praise be to God. Freedom and joy. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus. You know, the race isn't always to the swift, is it? As it says in Ecclesiastes. There are other factors that come into play, such as preparation and timing. You know, I can look back on people who, you know, were great runners and other, you know, athletes who didn't win, even though they might have had the greatest ability or the greater, more than anybody else. But the timing and the preparation wasn't there. And it's the same with us. The race isn't always to the swift. There's timing. And whose timing really counts but the Lord's?
Amen.
And we have to be in tune with Him to find out the correct time to move forward, to hold fast, to move to the left, to move to the right, to do whatever He says. It's His timing, but we have to put in the preparation. That's where consistency comes in. We have to put in the preparation. Hallelujah. Consistency keeps us ever prepared. I always think of John the Baptist, you know. He's out there for 30 years in the wilderness. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb.
Yeah.
And there he is, 30 years in preparation. And nothing's happening, you know. I mean, he's learning, he's building up, he's praying, I'm sure. He's in communion with the Lord. And then finally, the word of the Lord came unto him in the wilderness after 30 years. And that word is Rhema. The Rhema of God came to him in the wilderness. And he came forth from the wilderness preaching, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent, you know. But the timing was there and the preparation. We should never be discouraged about feeling, well, I'm underused by you, God. No, no. Wait upon His timing. Continue in the preparation. And when the time is right, He'll say the word, the Rhema of God, will come to us in our whatever wilderness we may be experiencing. And He'll say, now, go forth. And I've said it before, His ministry lasted a few months. That's it. Then He was beheaded. But He was prepared.
Yes.
He was consistent in His devotional life before the Lord so that when the word came, He was ready. Here we go. Praise God, it's finally happened. Can you imagine His excitement when that finally came to pass? When that Rhema hit Him? Oh my God! Whoosh! If he had a four-wheeler, he would have been out of that wilderness. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Consistency in what? One. I'm just going to do three of them. I could do 100 of them. But one, devotion. Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to give some scriptures that, I could give 100 scriptures. You could too. But we're just going to hit some of them that we don't possibly associate with all this. Consistency in devotion. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. How many realize that prayer is a lot more than just asking for things? People think, oh, pray. Yeah, I'll pray for it. Ask for somebody's healing. Ask for provision. Ask for this, that, the other thing. It involves a whole lot of other things, doesn't it? It involves praise and worship. It involves waiting upon the Lord. You ever just waited upon the Lord? Said, Lord, just feed me. Just feed me. There's a chorus that I sing when I'm waiting upon the Lord. And God just seems to answer, with regards to that chorus. And I sometimes sing, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. That's one of them. But there's another one, and I'm not going to share it with you because it's personal to me. And I just sing that chorus to the Lord, and it seems like He responds to that very often. And I can't get caught up in that either and say, oh, if I do this, He'll do that.
That's right.
No, God is sovereign. Isn't it? Always have to remember His sovereignty. But when I sing that chorus, He seems to speak to me in that. And praise be to God. Prayer is communion. It's fellowship with our Savior. It's talking and listening for the shepherd's voice. My sheep hear my voice. If we're not hearing His voice, we should be very troubled in our spirit. Lord, why aren't I hearing from You? If there's a long veil of silence, Lord, what's going on? You said Your sheep hear Your voice. I'm Your sheep. I'm one of Your sheep. I'm a sheep of Your pasture. Why aren't I hearing Your voice? We need to go to Him, don't we?
That's right.
On bended knee and say, Lord, what's going on here? And wait until we get an answer. Instead of getting all, I used to get hysterical when I was a young Christian. Oh my God, I didn't hear from God. What does He have? Abandoned me? Am I not really saved? And blah, blah, blah. All that stuff you go through when you're a young Christian. And then finally He calmed me down and said, wait upon Me. Wait upon Me. And you will hear My voice. Praise be to God. Luke 18:1. That's that parable. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to read that one verse because it has to do again with prayer, which again is so much more than just asking. Luke 18:1. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, not to lose heart. Don't lose heart. You go before the Lord. You put your request before Him. You confess your sins, if there are any, so that you try to be as pure as you can before Him. And the only one who was ever pure before Him was Jesus. We can't be totally pure, no way. I'd have to confess my sin constantly. We all have to, because our thoughts and our minds are going, in directions that they shouldn't. So much of the time, only Jesus was perfect before Him. But when we've done our best to get right before the Lord, then we can't lose heart. If we don't hear immediately, or if we don't get an answer right away, if we don't hear that voice immediately, But when we do, we need to act on it. You know, even if it means interrupting a song in mid-sentence, because the Lord says, I want you to say this. Praise be to God. And it may be while we're out amongst other people, unbelievers.
Amen.
You know, I want you to say this right now. You know, I had that experience with a guy I work with. I call him Weird Al. He and I are like this, you know. He's so far to the left, he doesn't have a right-hand turn signal in his car, you know. And I am so far to the right, and we're constantly. But we respect each other, you know. He's a good guy. He's not a bad man. But God told me one day to tell him, in no uncertain terms, unless you repent, you're going to go to hell. Now, that didn't do a lot for our relationship for a while. But I had to do that because God told me to. And I'm sure he thought about it. And I'm sure it's going to come back into his head. And after a while, we got back to, you know, the place where we could, you know, get along again. But God put that on my heart one day. And if I didn't say that, I would have been the most miserable person on earth.
Amen.
You know? Until I got it off my chest. And I would be praying to the Lord, give me another chance to say it, Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:19. Praise be to God. You know, he's the one who told me, I'll come to your church when you tell me what Jesus would say to the homosexual. And I said, well, I can tell you right now what he'd say. He would say, go and sin no more. That's what he'd say. You know, go and sin no more.
That's right.
So, come to church. He has yet to show up. Praise be to God. Ephesians 5:19. I forgive you. Go and sin no more.
That's all.
Amen.
Amen.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. That's not losing heart, is it? Instead, it's in our heart saying, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I see the circumstances all around me, but they don't affect me. I am what you say I am. You are, am, who is the great I am, but I am what you say I am. And what you say I am is a child of God. And what you say I am is accepted in the Beloved. I'm accepted in you, Lord God. I'm more than a conqueror. Praise be to God. Praise be to Jesus, to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I am who you say I am, Lord. Praise be to God. We have that big poster. We used to sell them here in the store on our bedroom wall. It says, I am. And it just goes right down the line. I am this, that, and the other thing about 25 different things that I am in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we have to have the attitude. I like how this one radio personality that I listen to sometimes signs off on every broadcast. He says, make it a good day. Not have a good day. Make it a good day. You and I have that choice, don't we? I can make it a good day. You know, I can leave it to chance. Oh, have a good day. Yeah, yeah. And something hits me and immediately I'm in a bad mood or whatever. No. Make it a good day. I can choose to make it good. Or I can choose to allow it to be, you know, lousy and allow myself to be whatever. Make it a good day. You and I have that choice. Praise be to God. Psalm 150. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We're talking about being consistent in our devotion life. How can you not read this and have a good devotional life? You know, Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, not according to our circumstances, but according to who he is.
That's right.
Praise be to God. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. I don't have a trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. I have sort of a harp. Praise be to God. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments. Got one right there. Organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Oh, I miss playing the drums. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise him. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We need to be consistent in our devotional life. And if it takes, you know, opening up to Psalm 150 and walking around the house and reading it out loud and absorbing it and allowing ourselves to praise, whatever it takes, we need to be consistent in our devotional life. Second, we need to be consistent in our disposition, our attitude, which is very similar to what I just shared in the other. We don't have to turn there, but Joel 3, verse 10, the latter part of it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Praise be to God. We sang that, didn't we? You are my hiding place. The weak say, I am strong in the strength of my Lord. Not in my own strength. Praise be to God. There are times I feel weak as a kitten. Cold? Anybody cold? Me too. Praise be to God. Praise God. Let the weak say, I am strong. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Amen.
That's right.
Praise be to God. They had heard the word of the Lord, the law, read to them for the first time since they had come back from captivity. And they were, oh my God, you know, I feel awful. I'm so convicted because, of, you know, I'm not living up to that, and I fall short in this department. And God is telling them, that's not why you're celebrating this feast. You're celebrating it in order to have my joy in your heart and your life. Celebrate. Don't whine. Don't, you know, grow sad and cry and shed tears. You know, there are seven feasts that are given in Leviticus 23 under the Mosaic Law, and only one of them calls for lamenting, and that's the Day of Atonement. The rest of them all call for celebration. Every one of them, as it did there. Because God says, my joy is your strength. What else do you have? I can give you my spirit, yeah. And I can, you know, uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, and I can make sure that no weapon formed against you prospers. But what you really need is an inner joy. And that can only come from my spirit. And I can impart that to you by my word and by my spirit. Praise be to God. What did Paul say in Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord. And he said it again for emphasis. Again I say, rejoice. Praise be to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Praise be to God. Not in the circumstances, but in the Lord.
That's right.
Who is Lord over the circumstances.
Amen.
And over all of our life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. We know that one, don't we?
I don't know. Probably.
1 Corinthians 15:58. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. The last verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, 14, there's 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, hallelujah, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does that follow? It follows 57 verses of that chapter talking about the resurrection. That's a great resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. And he says, so, let's see what the conclusion is. Do you have any reason not to be steadfast and immovable, always rejoicing in the work of the Lord? You're going to be resurrected.
Amen.
You're not only going to be transformed, you're going to be transferred. Transformed completely in body and spirit, and transferred to a much better place. This isn't it.
This isn't it.
Jeffersonville isn't it. Praise be to God. Swan Lake, thank God, isn't it? Liberty, isn't it?
Thank you, Jesus.
You're going to be transferred.
Praise you.
And transformed. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We're on our way to glory. And finally, we're to be consistent in our words. And we have to turn to our mentor here, James chapter 3. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Consistent in our conversation, in our words. This is one I struggle with. I don't know about you, but I struggle with it. Craig always talks about cutting off somebody's ear, you know. You can do that with your tongue.
That's right.
James chapter 3, you know, someone once said, watch your tongue, it's in a wet place where it's easy to slip.
Yeah.
And ain't it the truth?
Wow.
There you go. Praise be to God. You know, just as a doctor, you know, he checks your tongue to help with his diagnosis. In the spiritual sense, it's the same way, isn't it? We can check our spiritual health or lack of health by our tongue, by our conversation. Praise be to God. My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That is one scary scripture to me. Because what God is saying here, and we all, in a sense, are teachers, we're all evangelists, we're all called to preach the gospel. And what he's saying here is, you better watch your step, because if you're not living according to what you're teaching and preaching, you're going to get a whole bunch of condemnation, you know? Doesn't mean we'll lose our salvation, but at that judgment seat of Christ, you know, that finger is going to be pointed right at us. You said this on such and such a date, and yet you did this on this other date. You taught that, but you lived that. Where's that at? Wood, hay, and stubble. Goes right up in smoke. Amen? Loss of rewards. Got to be careful. What we say, we better be living. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man or mature. That's where it's at in Christianity. If we don't offend in our conversation, and I do it all the time, I struggle with it. God, I struggle with it. You know? I get some dude in the Philippines that I'm trying to get, you know, a computer problem straightened out with or something, and I can't understand you. Would you please speak clearly, you know? And it's like, you know, I shouldn't do that. I should be kind and patient, you know? Would you mind repeating that, please? Sometimes I do that, sometimes I don't. And there are many other areas that I struggle with. But the perfect man is a mature man. The only one who's perfect in his conversation was Jesus. He always spoke the right words, never said anything wrong. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. You know what a bit is? It's just a piece of metal that goes in the horse's mouth. Those horses weigh how many? You know what? Half a ton? And if you got the bit in there right, you can control that massive animal, you know, make it do whatever you want. God's saying the same thing. You keep this under control, and you have control, really, of your whole world and the universe, you know? If we can just keep that thing under control. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You know, the Queen Mary, or not the Queen Mary, the Queen Elizabeth, the first one, weighed something in the neighborhood of 85,000 tons. You know, I don't understand that stuff. I can't understand how a metal ship can float. I don't understand how an airplane can fly, you know, when it weighs tons and it's metal and everything else. But I don't have to know that. But the
rudder.
The rudder only weighed 140 tons. That's less than 0.2% of the weight of the ship. And yet that rudder controlled that entire gigantic ship. And God is saying, you know, get it under control. It's a tiny member, but boy, it can do a lot. Either for good or evil. Praise be to God. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire. What does it take to start a forest fire? To start a wildfire? Look at those things out in California. You know? Look at the Chicago fire of 1871. Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern, set the barn on fire, and destroyed half of Chicago, cost $175 million in damage, 250 lives, and destroyed a major part of the city. This thing can do the same thing, you know? Look at the wars that we have fought. One, World War II, Vietnam, all those wars started with somebody saying, "I declare war." Three words. And look at all the death and destruction that comes from that. And look at what we can do in another person's life, you know? You can't take it back. I have said things that, you know, I have apologized for, but it comes back. And people have said things to me that come back to me, you know? I don't dwell on them, but once in a while they rise up. Oh my God, you know? That hurt. And you can't take it back. So, what God is saying here is don't say it in the first place. If it's not led of me, if it's not, you know, edifying, what do you want to tear somebody down for? Does it make you feel better? Make you feel more of a person to tear somebody else down? Edify. Build up. And I have to preach. I'm preaching to myself right here. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Big time. You know, it talks about all the beasts, verse 7, and the fowls and everything else can be tamed, but the tongue needs to be tamed too. And we can't do it. You know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I believe that the reason that God gave us tongues is so that He could show us that He, by His Holy Spirit, can control our tongue. And what we're doing is, our tongue, for us, normally is, you know, whatever our mind thinks, we tend to say. Sometimes we hold back, sometimes we don't. But He's saying, this is a reversal of what your tongue, because of the fall, can cause to other people. Now I'm telling you, let My Holy Spirit control your tongue.
Thank you, Jesus.
And now it's under My control.
Thank you.
Now you're going to speak words of edification.
Thank you.
Isn't that what prophecy is for? For edification and building up the body of Christ?
Amen.
Praise be to God. He's saying, put it under My control. Not only when you speak in tongues or pray in tongues or have a message in tongues, but all the time. You can allow My Holy Spirit to control your tongue. And if you do, people are going to be built up. And you're going to bear fruit instead of pulling people down and causing destruction that you can never rebuild from. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn to Psalm, I'm just about closing down here, Psalm 19:14. Man, God was just flowing this stuff into me yesterday. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I love it when His Word flows. Tim, you need prayer?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Wretched how it's been.
Psalm 19, verse 14. This should be our prayer. Amen? Every day.
Yep.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Praise be to God. That should be our prayer. Ephesians 5. Here's another one I struggle with. Maybe you do too. Ephesians 5. Beginning with verse 1 to 4. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And here's the verse, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, I don't, believe that to tell an occasional clean joke is a sin. I don't. I told one here last week about the Polish guy who won a gold medal at the Olympics, and he was so proud of it, he had a bronze. Now, that, you know, to me, that is not a sin. And I can say Polish because my wife is Polish. I don't believe that's a sin. I don't believe God is going to condemn me for doing that. But, you know, jesting here is the thing. What's going on out there?
Quarter
turnaround. And that word jesting, I looked at Zodiatis in the Keyword Study Bible. Some of you have it. And he says that it refers to those who go beyond wit into mischief making and clownishness into scoffing and sneering or obscene joking. That's what jesting is.
Wow.
You know? So, on the one hand, you know, I don't believe that God is saying it's a sin to be witty on occasion and to make, you know, light of certain things. But when it goes into mischief-making, clownishness, scoffing, sneering, or obscenity, then you're in trouble. Then you shouldn't be jesting. But it's something we need to be on guard against, isn't it?
Amen.
And I know I do. Because, you know, I've always had a big mouth. And I've always had trouble controlling it. You know, I tend to say things that maybe it would be better if I just kept my mouth shut. You know? But remember the test of what we should speak. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? You know? And sometimes it's true and necessary, even though it doesn't seem to be kind. You know, sometimes you have to go to somebody and say, look, you know, you and I have a problem. We got to get this straightened out. There's something wrong here, you know. I'm not liking your attitude towards me, and, you know, I'm sensing something here that is not right. Let's get it straightened out, you know. And sometimes you have to, you know, go to people and make it right. And finally, close down with this. We're still in Ephesians 5. Let's turn to chapter or verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, carefully, in other words, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We have to be consistent in exercising godly wisdom, knowing what God's will for us is in our daily lives as well as in general. We have to live in the light of our godly calling, which is as children of God, rather than descending to the ways of the world. We have to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to advance the kingdom of God. You know, we have opportunities every day, or maybe not every day. You know, I go back to John Baptist, 30 years.
You know, right.
What was he doing? He was studying. He was learning the law. He was in devotions, I'm sure, with the Lord and in communion with him. And it was only when God said, now, that he burst forth, when the rhema came to him. So not every day. Maybe there's going to be an opportunity. You know, you can't force the gospel upon people. You can't force it. You know, if God's not in it, then, you know, we labor in vain who try to build that house.
Amen.
You're just laboring in vain. And sometimes God isn't in it. You know, you think, oh, wow, here's a person I never met before, opportunity to share the gospel. Maybe not. Maybe that person isn't ready to hear what you have to say, and maybe you haven't heard from the Lord, and maybe you haven't been consistent in your devotional life, and, you know, you're not ready to share what that person needs at that particular time. So, wait on the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? If anything, praise be to God. And walk in the efficiency, and Craig's favorite word, the efficacy. Each day of doing things God's way instead of relying on our own understanding and works. Amen. Praise be to God. God knows. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything and everybody and everything that's going to happen from now through eternity.
Amen.
Who should we lean on? Hey, I have a pretty good grasp on things of this life, you know? No. Lord, you have the grasp.
Amen.
Grasp me and put me in the place where you want me to be. I'm a pawn. Lord, move me on the board, wherever you want me to be. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. Father, help us to be consistent in these areas of our lives, we pray, Lord. Father, there are so many more areas. But, Lord, we know that if we can control that tongue, Father, if we can keep our disposition, knowing that we are children of God, and, Lord, if we can keep our devotional life really tuned into you, Father, we know that you can use us in ways that we don't even know about now, Father God. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we just yield ourselves unto you. We pray for your constant guidance, day upon day upon day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor, before you finished, you talked about this certain song that you sung that rang you to the Lord, and the Lord put it on me that that's your door.
Mm.
That's your door. Don't give up your door. That's Jesus.
Yep.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I have the similar thing. There's a certain way I pray, and then I know the Lord's going to enter in because
amen.
There's a trust there. It's a,
yep.
I mean, who's more thinking about it, but I know what you're saying.
Amen. Praise God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. We're just going to do the first and fourth verses of this because I don't have the other two.
Praise
Jesus. I'm not sure what you're doing.
Verses 1 and 4.
Surrender all to hear my prayer. I just thank you for a timely message. I thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to come and move freely in your spirit. Thank you, Father, for the changes that you're bringing in our lives and the things that you're bringing us through. Lord, most of all, I thank you, Father, that you are calling us to be constant in you, consistent in our walk with you. Not getting all giddy and high and not getting all poor me and low, but walking steady in you, for you truly are the chief cornerstone. The word says that they that trust in you shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, the Lord is round about his people from henceforth and even forevermore.
Amen.
We trust in you, Lord. We shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. We trust in you, for you are the firm foundation. You are the chief cornerstone. And as we abide in you, there is no movement, but only those things that come from your kingdom. And I thank you, Father, for the call of devotion and a call to watch over our tongues, Lord, that we might be holy even as you are holy, that we might be pleasing to you, that we would be wholly devoted to you. For you truly are the apple of our eye, as we are the apple of yours. So I pray, Father, that you would even just ever increase our prayer time, our fellowship, our quiet times with you, our praise times, our worship times, individually and as a group, Lord, that you would enrich and inhabit the praises of your people, that you would speak to us, for your servants have ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd like to say. And Lord, we choose to sanctify our tongues, our lips, our words, that they might bring blessing to you, that they might be that which the Spirit of the Lord would have us say. And we're not perfect, but you are. And so we yield ourselves unto you. So bring us into that constancy of your kingdom and guide us ever by your Spirit. For we walk by faith and we trust in you, and we are those who will be, who are as Mount Zion. In Jesus' name.
God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God.